Good evening, everyone. Merrill Reese and Mike Quick at Lincoln Financial Field as the Eagles meet the Chicago Bears in Sunday Night Football.
The mood going into the game against the Chicago Bears, we were loose. We were feeling good, energetic. I mean, it's Sunday Night Football, and it doesn't get much better than that.
Across the field stand the monsters of the Midway, and Merrill, tonight, they have an opportunity to clinch the NFC North.
And warm us before the game, there's a lot of energy. Guys were loose. We're having fun.
Why is it the all night? They're not going to last with us all night. They're not going to last with us all night. We're going to make them quick tonight. Dominate these. All we
want to
do is go 1-0 tonight. 1-0-3.
1-2-3. 1-0. And when you feel that energy, you know it's going to start out fast. You're going to start out strong. And we did just that. Trent Cole did a great job, you know, getting a sack on the first series. Chicago had to go 3-and-out. And that's huge when you start a game and Chicago gets the ball, they go 3-and-out, and then we get the ball and we put it in the end zone. That's how you want to start a game.
Cole takes the snap, fakes to McCoy. He's rolling, firing, and it is caught for a touchdown, Wiley Cooper!
We get over the sideline, we're doing corrections, and special teams comes up with a big play. Bradley Fletcher caused a fumble. Kerry Williams gets it back.
Fletcher comes out from 2 yards deep to the 10, 15, 20, up to the 30, up to the 35. He fumbles, and the Eagles have it.
When turnovers happen, the defense or special teams give you the ball back. It's important to capitalize, and it was great for our offense to go out there, get the fumble recovery, and put the ball in the end zone yet again.
Bulls under center. To Shady. He barrels his way forward and he scores!
We were able to get 14 points early in the game, and in a game like that, with that magnitude, it's important to keep putting points on the board.
Bowles is back. He's looking. Still looking. Firing. Complete. Sittler. Touchdown!
Going into halftime, it was 24-3. To win a football game, you have to play well on all three phases of the game, and you know, we come out and Donnie Red Zone Jones does a great job yet again of giving them bad field position. And you have to have that to win games.
It is first and 10 Bears at the 2. The handoff goes inside, and they tackle Forte. Is it a safety? Safety!
We get the ball back, and we move the ball down the field, and LeSean scores from a yard out.
Cole takes the snap, goes to McCoy, spins away. He's in! Touchdown number 10 on the season, the 9th on the ground.
It's 33-3. Chicago gets the ball back. They have a talented offense, and they do go down and they score.
Cutler takes the snap. He fires for the end zone touchdown. Made it look easy as he gunned it to Brandon Marshall.
And that's why I say in the NFL, you have to keep putting points on the board because you don't want that team to get momentum. Our offense goes back out. Holt does a great job, gets a score. Then the defense is on the field, and then you got Boykin getting a pick six. Great play. Then we go back on offense. Vic hands off the ball to Bryce Brown. Bryce Brown takes it 65 yards and just burns everybody. We were going to finish the game strong and keep it going and keep fighting throughout the entire game.
And that will do it. They will kneel on it one more time. Well, the Eagles knew that they could not wrap up the division tonight, but they came out with fire and they were expertly prepared by this coaching staff.
As Coach Chip Kelly said, we are from Philadelphia and we fight. We take pride in playing for the city of Philadelphia and all Eagles fans throughout the nation. And I was proud of the team. We did a great job as a team in securing that victory. And now we got to continue building and moving forward.
That will wrap things up for tonight. Next Sunday, the Eagles and the Cowboys at Cowboys Stadium in a game that means, well, it means everything.
This week, the game against the Cowboys, you know, the playoffs are starting. They're starting a week early for us. You know, we win this game, we keep moving, we keep going. You know, there's a lot on this game, but we're not putting that pressure on us. We're ready to play. We have a great week of preparation ahead of us. We're going down to Dallas, and we'll be ready to play some Eagle football.
Coming up on Inside the Season, presented by Verizon Wireless. Coach Ted Williams talks about the big role his tight ends are playing in the Eagles' offense. And a few members of the team help make this Christmas a little brighter for some local families.
The Eagles-Cowboys rivalry basically goes back forever.
This is my favorite rivalry in sports, hands down. I know some people
have the Giants as their most hated team. There's nothing that compares for me to the Cowboys in terms of hatred, sports hatred.
Eagles Cowboys is the ultimate rivalry in this city. Any sport, any time, that's the one.
I remember back to that weasel Tom Landry on the sideline with his fedora, and he's Mr. Nice Guy, yet he's rubbing it in your face when he's up 35 points. People tend to forget that kind of stuff. I don't.
I mean, there was Leroy Jordan, who was middle linebacker for the Dallas Cowboys, threw a very famous cheap shot elbow into the face of Timmy Brown and knocked out a whole bunch of Timmy's teeth, gave him a concussion.
I remember the cheap shots. Dennis Thurman, who was one of the dirtiest players, laying out Harold Carmichael, breaking his streak.
When I first got to Philadelphia back in the early 80s, I heard a lot about the Eagles and the Cowboys rivalry. I just didn't understand how big it was until my rookie season, coming out the tunnel, and you know, I'm looking around, as I always do, at Harold Carmichael, because to me he was the guy in 82. And I'm looking up in his eyes, and he's, you know, you could see the tears welling up in his eyes, and right then I knew that there was something big about this rivalry, and I needed to strap it on tight when it was time to play the Cowboys.
January 11th, 1981. Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys at a jam-packed veteran stadium.
I thought that the NFC Championship game was probably the best home field advantage I think I've ever seen for an NFL game. I don't think I've ever felt a stadium that was more electric. I don't think I've ever seen a team that was more ready to play than the Eagles were that day.
I'm a little kid sitting in the stands freezing that day. I'm watching the game and I see the Eagles, they come out in their white jerseys. And if you remember back then, the Cowboys hated wearing the blue jersey. It was some kind of, it was in their head, okay? And Jim Murray, who was the general manager at the time, had the idea, put the Eagles in white, where they typically wear green at home, put the Cowboys in blue. Let's play with their heads a little bit.
Now, the odds makers made the Cowboys the favorites in that game, even though the game was in Philadelphia. And if you looked at it on paper and you matched them up player for player, it's fair to say the Cowboys were a better team. They had more talent. But on that day, walking into that stadium, you just felt they had no chance to win.
Dick Vermeil talked to his team the night before and told them that he believed in them. And this game was going to be their game. This was the game that was going to launch them. And every man on that team believed.
Let's face it, the Cowboys were the team that the Eagles, it just seemed like you couldn't get past them. And to have them now in an NFC Championship game to get to the ultimate game was just poetic.
What Dick preached to his players, look, if we, for us to get to where we want to go as a football team, we have to beat the Dallas Cowboys. That's the team that stands in our way.
Early in the game, they were pounding away at Tony Dorsett. But the big thing, the big moment of that game occurred in the first quarter.
Wilbert Montgomery, who had been banged up that whole year. I mean, you look at the amount of touches he had that season. It's no wonder he was banged up. Is he going to play? Isn't he? The whole lead up.
Jaworski gives off inside. Running with Montgomery up the right side. Left 30, 25, 20, 15, 10. Touchdown! Wilbert Montgomery! Montgomery explodes up the right side, and the Eagles have scored first.
If there's one play from that game that always comes to mind, and that will be the highlight that is forever shown, it will be that run by Wilbert Montgomery.
Boom. I mean, off tackle, gone. The place erupts, and literally the game was over after Wilbert's run.
And as I saw that number 31 disappear in the end zone, I knew, and everybody in the Delaware Valley knew, it was only the first quarter, but all of us knew that the Eagles were headed to Super Bowl 15.
This portion of Inside the Season was brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Download the free Dunkin' mobile app today. Inside the Season is brought to you by Verizon Wireless. For Eagles text alerts from Verizon Wireless, text EAGLES to 82565. NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy. Dunkin' Donuts. Download the free Dunkin' mobile app today. And by Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals, the official hospital of the Philadelphia Eagles.
With highly consistent play from Brent Celek and the emergence of rookie Zach Ertz, this year's tight end squad is as strong as ever. We sit down with Coach Ted Williams as he explains the contributions they are making with the offense this year.
Well, first of all, when you go out to examine, you know, a tight end, just watching him run routes is really important. Tight end in this offense has to be a good route runner. I mean, he's not going to function well if he can't run routes. Then you want to see his physical toughness. Those things are necessary for this offense to function. So you're looking for toughness, you're looking for athletic skill, and if they can run, that's a bonus. Because obviously, running after the catch is big in this offense. We're up there in the top five in explosive plays, and so we hope the tight end position can be an asset instead of a liability in those areas.
Ertz to the near side, pulls back, he steps up, he is firing, complete, touchdown Ertz!
Zach Ertz is a young player, as we all know, but he's a skilled and talented player. When he first got here, obviously the pace of what we were doing and the execution of how we wanted to get it done, obviously that's a learning process, and I think he's handled it well, and he's maturing now at the right time, and he's doing the kind of things you want to have done at that position, and I think he's going to be a fine player.
Thick of the shotgun is back. He's looking. He is floating in, and it is caught by Zach Ertz inside the 10 down at the 8.
Well, Zach Ertz is still a rookie, and we can't forget that, and there is a rookie wall, and they all go through it. But the fact of the matter is that he understands that's a necessary evil for this particular job description. And he's fought through it, and he's getting better. And I just think, you know, his mindset has improved because he understands his gifts and talents and skills, you know, make him a better player. But he has to understand it's a 16-game season.
Foles fakes, rolls, looks. He is going deep, and it is caught! Touchdown, Brent Celek!
Well, Brent Celek has always been a great worker, and he's never shied away from putting in the extra effort to be a better player. This year, you know, his blocking has not diminished, and he's always been a good receiver. He's always been extraordinary run after the catch. That's always been his strength and his talent. But I think the biggest thing you can say about Brent Celek is he stayed healthy. I just think that because he's been healthy, he's been allowed to stay on the field longer, and he's been allowed to do more things.
Pulls back. He's looking. He fires.
Well, I don't think Brent ever fears competition. I think he relishes with it, you know, because he's such a hard worker. But the one thing Brent Celek has done for this offense and our room in general, you know, he's been the big brother, he's been the father, he's been the counselor, he's been the mentor. He's been where we ask him to be. So I don't think he ever shied away from competition. I think that makes him better. And I think that his attitude in terms of how to approach it is exemplary.
Packers jumping as Foles goes back. Here comes the rush. Foles dumps it off to James Casey. James Casey has a first down.
Well, James Casey came into this offense with different skill set than the other two. He's a move guy, and we tried to isolate his skills in terms of, you know, putting him on the move and helping him to be a better blocker, to be a better receiver, to just be a fit-in guy when you need him. And he's done those kind of things, and we just feel, you know, grateful for the fact that we have him and that he's performed so well when he's been on the field.
We are very excited here at Bringing Hope Home. This is our third annual Adopt a Family, and along with the Philadelphia Eagles and some local businesses like Crocodile Cafe, everybody bands together to take care of families that are battling cancer for Christmas and the holidays. We started this program 3 years ago, and the first year we did 5 families, then the second year we did 54 families, and this year we're going to do 140 local families with Christmas presents and food and their bills paid. All when they're going through a tough time, they realize that they're not alone.
So it was back in 2012. I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and I was out of work for 6 months. And Bringing Hope Home, from the minute I called them, they instantly were like, "Don't worry, we're here for you. We're going to take care of you."
How many people in the greater Philadelphia area don't have anybody? And there's good and bad, and there's right and wrong. And it's bad for someone to be alone, but it's good to provide them hope, and that's what Bringing Hope Home does.
You know, this is more of like an eagly green, and the trees in this are darker green like that. It's French, it's fashion, I don't know.
We are trying to wrap gifts.
Yeah, not so bad.
You did good.
Probably the best one I've ever done before. This is a good day, we're off to a good start.
I'm learning.
Cutting the right size. Just learn how to fold the corners, where to tape.
I feel like the kids, you know, things you do for the kids will last a long time. You can go and do so much with our autographs and pictures and things like that, but just spending time, just being able to give back to the kids is something they'll always remember.
Growing up, we weren't You know, we kind of moved around from housing to housing a lot. I mean, there's just some things that every kid should have, and I think that a Christmas is one of those things. And for some people, that's groceries and food, and for some people, that's a leapfrog little music player.
It's the Christmas time, and you got to be in the spirit of giving, and in our case, we're in the spirit of just giving our time. Just wanted to come here and just wrap gifts and laugh and joke with everybody that participated today. Holly put together a great event, and she's happy to be a part of it.
This time of the year, helping these families with cancer is just important to help them out when they're struggling.
Growing up, I always remember Christmas being a special time and having gifts under our tree. These families are going through so much, and obviously probably don't have the means to provide a great Christmas for their children. Taking some time out of our day to come out and help out and be a part of this, knowing that you're helping somebody out and allowing them to have a great Christmas, it means a lot to me.
This portion of Inside the Season was brought to you by Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals, the official hospital of the Philadelphia Eagles.
What's up, guys? I'm John Dornbos. Welcome back to Inside the Season. I'm here with my man, Vinny Curry, Brandon Boyko in the house. Now, this is really cool. The defense is playing really well right now. What do you guys see? We'll start with Brandon. What do you see as the biggest change since September?
I think, just everybody gelling together, our communication, just playing at a high level. We're practicing fast, and it's really turning over on the Sundays, and it's becoming fun to us.
Vinny, same question to you. What do you see as the biggest change, maybe from the D-line perspective, since September?
The guys is out there competing and just want to get after it, man. The guys are hungry and we just want to win. So, and then take it back to what Brandon's saying, the guys is just really gelling together.
Now, I'm going to kind of put you guys on the spot here. Brandon, what do you think is the best part of Vinny's game? And then, Vinny, think about what you think is the best part of Brandon's game.
I think Vinny has a very high motor. He's probably one of the more high motor guys on our team. I mean, every day of practice, he's geeked. He's running fast. He's doing the things that he has to do, to play at game speed. And I think that's why he's had such a successful year, getting sacks and getting in the backfield and getting at the quarterback.
Now, I'll say this to all the viewers. I'm a long snapper. So in practice, they actually line this guy over me, and I hate it because your first step off the ball. As a snapper, I usually get a sack and I can get up and look. Every time I move, your first move is there. And I'm like, man, I hate going against this guy because your first step is insane. Is that something that you've always been good in the pass rush, or is that just you work on it? Or?
Yeah, you try to work on different things. You always want to have an advantage over another pass rusher, that you can bring to the table.
Now, this is really cool. You guys stay active in the community. You guys are great with kids. Last year, you guys went to Arise Academy High School, and you guys actually got to spend time with disadvantaged youth and reward them with perfect attendance. Talk about that experience and what it was like to interact with those kids.
We just wanted to reward those kids, for trying hard, getting good grades, and just let them know that, get good grades, good things that can reap the benefit of the reward for it. So it was just a good opportunity for me and Brandon, and just to show our appreciation to the kids that we see them working hard in school and just keep it up.
What do you think?
I think the same, man. These are inner city kids who, really go out of their way to make it to school every single day. They don't have the privilege of just, getting in the car and driving. They might have to take the train or walk or whatever. So for them to have perfect attendance in the situation that they are, it goes above and beyond what, we could really imagine as going to school and trying to get our education. So like Vinny said, it was just really important for us to acknowledge them and let them know that we appreciate how hard they're working and strive to be successful. I'm proud of those guys, and I'm sure that they appreciate it.
And I think it's super cool because, I've been around the league a long time, and when you see the community rally around you guys and how much they look up to you guys to give a good message to them, it's a real cool thing. Now, before, I was joking with you that there are some people in this room, I don't want to point fingers or maybe hint to who has Emmys in this room, but a piece was submitted, and it was an Emmy award-winning piece. And you guys also, too, are now Emmy Award recipients. So there it is. This is an Emmy.
Are you serious?
Yes. Open it up.
What?
You got to take that thing out. You put that on the mantle, you are good to go.
This is mine?
And it's yours, man.
For real?
So, on behalf of the Philadelphia Eagles, Inside the Season, Emmy Award winner John Dornbos, Emmy Award winner Brandon Boykin, Emmy Award winner Vinny Curry, we out.